Hello, hello, hello. 7 p.m. on the East Coast. This is JT. I'm the co-host of this show, and you know this is no chaser time. The host of the show, as always, is Mac Williams, and he's on with me right now. Welcome, my man.
What's up, sir? How was your week?
It was great. It was absolutely great.
This
is going to cap it off tonight.
Exactly, absolutely. Just want to let everybody know, hope you guys all had a great week. This is the No Chaser Show with Mac Williams. I'm the host with the most, give it to you straight with No Chaser. Today, just want to let you know, before we get started with our guest, Trinity Web Solutions is the host of the program. We do email, we do web, we do websites, domains, anything you need, contact trinitywebsolutions.org. And we will hook you up. You can open up an account today. All right? Without further ado, we have a guy who I consider a street ball legend. He'll never tell you that, but he is. And besides all that, he's really a good friend of mine. Over the years, we've become really good friends, and I appreciate him being here. The one, the only, Professor Grayson Boucher. What's up, bro?
How you doing, man? I'm doing good.
Let's get this thing started, man. Glad to have you, man. Glad you're here. I know you over there in that LA traffic that we always hear about, but rarely get to experience. But trust me, we get it here in DC too. It's terrible. I know he gets it in New Jersey. I know Jerry gets it in New Jersey. I know he gets it.
So, crazy.
Exactly. But where I wanted to start off at is I wanted to start off with talking about your Spider-Man project coming up. You got part four coming up.
Yeah.
I think Jerry, have you seen him now?
No.
You did see him?
No.
You haven't? Okay. I thought I emailed him to you. I thought I did, but maybe I didn't. I'm all over the place. But anyway, this is part four. So can you tell the fans, I know you're doing. I don't know if you're shooting it still, or if you're just in the finishing process, or you know, where are you with it, and what can we expect?
Yeah, man, we're really excited about it. We just wrapped shooting with it, so it's in post right now, meaning it's just the editing process, and you can expect the same type of humor and excitement that you got with the first three, and then we're also introducing a new character, if you will, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to give too many details, but introducing it to the character, and we hope to be dropping it sometime before the end of the month. You know, I don't like to lay parameters because there's a lot of hurdles that you come across with production or editing a lot of times. But yeah, man, we're really excited about it, and it's been fun, and I think the fans will like the direction. They're starting to get a feel with the direction we're going off this next episode, so... Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. This is the question I've been really asking, waiting to ask you is, where did you get this idea? Was it an accident? Was it something you planned? Was it something that you just did something one day in a Spider-Man suit and figured out to play around with it and then went in the direction with it? How did this all come about?
It was mainly the co-producer of the series. It was mainly his idea. A good friend of mine, his name is Rob Monroe. He goes by Set Free. So it was his idea. We've been good friends for years, and we're always chopping it up about marketing stuff, about digital branding. And we were looking at YouTube videos. One day we were looking at the top 10 YouTube videos of like 2011, I believe it was. And we were just talking, and we were kind of talking about like the state of basketball and the state of streetball. And we were looking at my channel, and we were thinking like, wow, you know, street ball videos, these videos get a lot of views. They're pretty search heavy, but they don't ever like get to like the mainstream type views. You know, they get like 10 to 100,000 views. You know, most of my videos, they were at least on my channel. I have other videos that were in the millions, but those weren't on my channel. So I was trying to figure out how to get the exposure over to my channel, and basically figured out through, you know, looking at some YouTube analytics and seeing other people's channels that basically you got to have viral type videos. So we were trying to think how possibly could you do a street ball, cool basketball type video they could actually go viral without doing anything that's just like, you know, like outlandish or, you know, a lot of times it's stuff that's...
You'll be embarrassed for later.
Yeah, exactly.
Years from now,
exactly.
You'll be embarrassed. So, you have your kids and be talking about, Daddy, you did that?
Right. So we're sitting there brainstorming, and out of nowhere, he was kind of like, he was like, bro, you know what would be hot? Because he's big up on, like, comic book stuff, and I like comic book stuff, too, but I don't know the stories as in-depth as he does. Like, cartoon, the stories, the characters, all that. So he was like, you know what would be tight is if you hit up the park wearing a superhero mask and you just start playing people, you know, one-on-one or getting a 5-on-5 game, whatever the case is, we film it and then make a little mix like that, and then on the... You know, with the search words and the titles, you can use the superhero's name, which might help you get a little more exposure. And then we kind of put our heads together, and somehow we advanced to the idea of actually wearing the full costume, doing a video, and then if it went well, possibly making a web series off it.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you went on the court wearing a full Spider-Man costume?
That's what we do. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Jerry, do you have your computer in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
Just go to YouTube, and what did you put in? Just put in Professor Spider-Man, and it'll come up. There's a part 1, 2, and 3. So if you start watching it, you'll start seeing it. And he didn't even know. See, I knew he didn't see it fast, because he's like, you're in a full costume. I'm like, man, what?
I like his reaction, though. You know, that's the reaction we're going for, you know, because honestly, when we first started, it was more based on comedy than anything. We just thought it'd be funny video that we would hope would pass about 100,000 views. And then it happened to be a crazy hit success, you know, like a real viral video. So, yeah.
That
was
kind of
cool. Wow.
Did you get a lot of feedback?
Not yet. I'll let you know when I got it up. Well, wow, that's crazy. That is crazy. That's pretty I should say pretty. That's very unique, and that's crazy too. Wow, I got to see this.
Thanks.
Yeah, but you start with part 1, and then you go to part 2 and 3. And they're marked, but it's part 3. But he's working on 4, so you're 3 behind. But they're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But trust me, they're entertaining. It's funny. You get a little laugh out of it, but you get a little story behind it too. Seth, let me ask you. Now, with the success of this, are you? Did fans after the first one? Did fans ask a lot? Like, are you going to do another one? Was that the immediate reaction? Like, I like this. Are you going to do another one? Did you get those messages from fans a lot, or did you guys just decide based on the hit?
We did actually. We did part 1, and then we read the comments every week. I wasn't able to do another one until like 3 months later because I was right in the middle of our summer tour, the Baltimore tour. And so, which was kind of frustrating because we were like, dang, you know, we'd like to capitalize while it's hot. You know, fans are loving it. And immediately they were like, they had all types of ideas like, you got to do the Avengers, you know, we'd like to see Batman versus Spider-Man. You know, people were coming with their own ideas, and they were like, this is hot. And they definitely were, like, thirsty for more of it. And so finally, when I had some time, when I got off the tour, we immediately made, like, a part 2 and tried to keep it moving from there. So, yeah.
That's really, really good. Because to be honest with you, it's funny. I'm a comic book guy, and I grew up collecting them. I'm one of those guys like your man who I know the story, the characters, all that kind of stuff. So for me, that's what got me. I was like, this is cool. Like, I couldn't believe it, but then I was like, man, this is off the hook. Like, this is really, like, something totally different, like, to make a storyline out of it. And I found myself excited to see the next part as I was with, you know, how you go to the movies and you see Spider-Man or you see the Hulk or you see Thor, and you go, man, I can't wait till they make the next one. You know, what are they going to do next? And that's almost like it was for this web series. So, you know, I got to give you kudos, man, because to be honest with you, I could have never thought that idea up in a million years. Like, hey, put it on a full Spider-Man costume and play basketball and put a storyline around it. And, I mean, who thinks of that except two minds that really, you know, think like that? So are you planning to go into that direction of Batman versus Spider-Man or this and that and, like, keep it going? Or are you guys just more or less taking it one at a time, just planning it out each one at a time?
We've got about 5 or 6. We plan about 5 or 6 videos ahead of where we're at. So
wow.
Yeah, we definitely are expanding and introducing new characters, and I'll leave it at that. I don't want to give too many details away.
No, I understand that. But you're introducing new characters. Have you heard from Marvel at all?
No, we haven't, man. That's one of the more common questions that you ask too from most people. They're like, how does Marvel feel? Is Marvel going to get rid of your city or of your series? Are they? Do you think you're in a potential place where you could get sued? The answer was, or from what we know, is that we YouTubed everything Spider-Man before we even did the thing. We saw that people had successful series, homemade series that they did using the Spider-Man image and the character, where they got millions of hits, and it wasn't a problem.
I think if you said their name or put them in it, I think that would be something different. But if you just use the character, I think it's in the public domain. You probably can't do anything with that. It's like somebody Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think we're in a place of legal danger. I think if anything, if they didn't support the series for whatever reason, if it was changing the character or they felt it was getting too much attention away from the movie, which I don't think is the case, then they could definitely put an end to it. But I don't think we're in any, legal danger. And if they did decide to do that, I can understand why I wouldn't have a problem with it. At the end of the day, it was good marketing. It served its purpose, so it's cool.
Exactly.
But, hopefully, Lord willing, they support it, which would be really cool. But I really don't know where they stand. I haven't heard from anybody.
I gotta ask this question. I'm dying to ask this question. You get in a full Spider-Man suit. Now, you walk on a court. The whoever you play, are they in on this, or you just happen to walk in and play whoever's on the court? Talk to me.
See, that's another whole innovative part about it, and then we thought it could potentially go viral too, because that part is not scripted. So we're just crashing a court. Nobody knows we're coming. A guy shows them in a costume, and then usually the game stops. And then I just ask challengers to go. Or now, since the hype is big, the game will stop, and then we'll just start playing. But yeah, it's not scripted. The storyline part is scripted, so it's the first ever that we know of half reality, half scripted web series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I know Jim was sitting there going, are you serious? I knew when you went out there, I was like, I knew that was just nobody's. I knew they weren't no. Now, let me ask you this. Do people now know who you are when you come, the real person, or is it more or less they just want to play you?
I would say, usually about more than 50% of the people will know that it's me in there. But there's always an element of, uncertainty just because they don't see any part. The Spider-Man costume covers every part of your body. So I think there's always a level of uncertainty until we start playing. But, probably about over 50%. The last time I went to the court to film the Spider-Man 3, everybody stopped playing. There was, two courts going, and when I walked on the court, everybody stopped playing, and then I just started playing a bunch of people one-on-one, and we had, this built-in crowd, and it was crazy. So it's been fun, though.
I'm still crazy about this. How do you pick your spot? Where do you do you just randomly go to a court, or you have your eye on a spot to go to? How do you pick your venue on the next victim, I should say?
So the producer Rob Seffri, he lives in Santa Clarita, and I live in the valley area of Southern California. So we do courts that are at least within the 5-10 mile radius. And so what we do is we go to the most packed courts. So we don't know who's going to be there or anything, but we try to take notes throughout the week which courts were the most packed. And it's a blessing that we live in California, because it's the only place where they're still playing outdoor basketball in December. Or excuse me, in January.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you have to go out there and crash it. I just want to tell everybody what y'all need to check out, because I'm going to tell you what was most impressive to me. I mean, the series was impressive. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
The one you have with the video where you're working out by yourself, that's impressive. The one where you're out early in the morning, I guess, and you're working out by, you were working out, I guess, is the pre-workout to the doing the movie or something. I found that. And I was looking out. You know what, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The one, yeah, when you was out there with that raggedy net on the thing, or I was like, looking, I was like, man, it's like, he outside looking this up. Some of them shots are like ridiculous. So, I'm astounded, man. I'm loving the series, man. I'm loving it. And I think somebody somewhere should send the link to Marvel and let them look at it so they get some feedback. In fact, maybe you should send a link to Marvel and email. Find somebody. All the people in California. Somebody know Marvel. Send it. But I think it's a great idea, man. I really do. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.
What can we look for, Seth, you know, this year? I mean, you have some things in the works this year. Maybe where can people see you? I mean, I know Ball Up is going to do its summer tour like always, but what are some of the things that you're going to be doing, traveling, or where can fans see you maybe in the space, or, you know, what do you have planned to do? Because I know you're always doing something. You know, you don't never have, you've had very few days off knowing you. So what are you planning to do?
Yeah, so I'm planning on really just expanding everything. We do have the Ball Up summer tour and some international stuff going on. That is for sure in 2014, so the expansion of Ball Up, things of that nature, tour dates.
Okay.
With me, I'm actually going to be working on another web series. What I'm going to really focus on is really going hard digitally. Now, I do now, but I would like to even expand on that and to try to make videos, instead of just mass highlight videos, try to make videos that have viral potential. So we're doing a whole other series. And,
wow.
And kind of, I'm giving my brand like a whole facelift, if you will. New logo, new concepts. Doing another web series kind of based off my nickname, moniker, Professor.
Okay.
And
okay.
Kind of going in that direction. So I just want to give the fans more because over the past few years, I'm so obligated with my touring stuff that it's really hard for me to focus on giving the fans ongoing content. So they feel like they can't really see me play anywhere or do anything unless they're on site at a tour stop, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
So yeah, I just want to give them more, and I want to do some merchandising. Not on a major level where, you know, be a Foot Locker or anything of that nature, but merchandising online. And, just be more available to the fans.
So you're going to go into, like, your own T-shirts or whatever it is, whatever that is, your own brand or whatever, you want to expand into that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a great thing. I mean, you know, all you gotta do is just keep me aware, keep me up to date, man. Because you already know who I work for. And, you know, we got 4,000 or 5,000 fans, Goodman fans, that I control the Facebook, the Twitter, and the website. I mean, I don't have no problem just like, bam, you know, hitting people up and saying, hey, look, that's coming out with this, or that's coming out with that. So let me know when you're ready to drop that. I'll help you in any way I can, but
I definitely appreciate that, man.
See, I think it's great for you to do that. Have you now? You just put out a few days ago, I think, a KFC spot, which that was very interesting. Did KFC come to you, or did you go to them, or was it? How was it? That's a nice spot. I haven't seen it on TV yet, but I like the spot though.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, so they approached me, I think it was like the end of the summer last year, and we got it out here in L.A., and they did like a casting for ball players who came, and I ended up playing catch with a bucket of chicken in my hand.
Yeah, I saw that with the little to-go cup in your hand.
It was a blast, man. And it's not scripted. A lot of people think it's scripted. They, you know, you can read the comments, like, the dudes ain't really playing. You know, the dudes don't have their hands up, you know. So, yeah, it's not scripted. They just told the guys, just play D, that's it. And then they're like, just do what you do, you know. And, yeah, they, you know, there were some turnovers. I did miss some shots, you know, but I only played out there for, like, 45 minutes, and those were the best of those 45 minutes. So, it was fun. Yeah.
Okay. So, can we expect more? Have you been getting more opportunities as far as, you know, advertising and you know, brand awareness? I guess what I'm saying is, Have you gotten, like, people like not just KFC, but have other people approach you about marketing opportunities or advertising for their product? Have you seen that happen?
Not from companies per se, but that's definitely the direction I'm headed. I'm trying to basically assemble a team that would help me to be able to go that direction and make a harder push for it.
Right.
Basically, like you asked me what's going on in 2014, everything I'm doing is going to be a push more towards the mainstream because, you know very well, you know, being a fan of street ball, you know guys on the touring circuit, you know guys that play actual street ball, and, you know, very pumps, and you know that it's kind of like, it's a big thing, but it's kind of like underground, you know? It's very,
right.
You know, if you're in the area, you know about it, or if you stayed up with the mixtapes back in the day,
right.
You
right.
like it, you know, and I think it's very marketable, but it just doesn't have the eyes that it used to, the distribution level. So everything I'm doing is definitely slated towards mainstream, and I haven't been approached by any other companies, but KFC wants to expand on that marketing campaign, and they want to do like a part two, part three, but they want to make it event driven. So
okay.
My guy for a challenge. So yeah, I'm definitely trying to head more in that direction and slate everything towards more like mainstream opportunity.
Hello.
Yeah, you there? Hello,
Mac, you there? Don't tell me we lost Mac.
We have lost him.
Yeah, we have lost him. I you know, I'm as we he was speaking, I'm watching the first video that you played several people one on one, and
yeah.
I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got people sitting around, somebody in a Spider-Man outfit. And guys are playing a one-on-one. It's and the ball skills. I know these young kids are like fascinated with your ball skills, with your dribbling and all. It's wow.
Thanks, man. I'm glad you like it, man. It was so funny. This reminded me. I was going to tell Mac this story. The first day we go out to shoot that, it just so turned out that it was the hottest day of the summer in Los Angeles, right? So I think
right.
We got over 110, and we're trying to shoot a video where I have to wear a full spandex suit. So you can imagine how hot it was, right? So all of the courts empty because nobody's going to hoop in 110-plus degree weather, right?
Right.
So we go out all day. We keep going to courts, empty, not a soul. Now, these are courts that are packed on a regular day, right, a regular summer day.
Right.
So then finally we find a court. It gets packed about 6:30, and the only reason this court gets packed is because they have a bunch of trees, so there's some shade. And the wind,
I see that.
There starts to be like a slight wind chill at about like 6:30 in the evening, right? So
right.
I go out to this court, and you know, I'm burning up. I had my costume on. Somebody called in.
I'm trying to call Mac.
You
back.
Have reached the Sprint voicemail box of 202.
He must be in a bad spot. He must be in a real
okay.
bad spot.
Right.
So
okay.
I imagine the temperature at the time had to drop dramatically in by the time you got to film this. Am I right about that or what?
Yeah. No, actually, we're going out at 6:30 p.m., and it's still like 93 degrees or something
oh,
like
wow.
that. Oh, wow. So I take to the court, and what was so funny was you talking about all those little kids there. It just so happened there was like, there's usually a lot of kids at this park, probably like close to 100. So I walked out there, everybody started saying, Spider-Man, and they rushed over, and they had thought that I was like a mascot that came for that day to like entertain the kids or whatever. So then we got a way bigger reaction than we had even thought, anticipated. We kept going, you know, I kept walking towards the court, and now I'm at the court, so we just had like a built-in audience. Which was funny because, you know, when you do these things unscripted, you never know how it's going to work out. You know, you never know what kind of video content you're going to get. But it just
right.
so turned out perfectly for that day. So, that was a funny story.
Mac
wow.
is back.
Yeah, it's live
all
radio,
right, cool.
y'all. Sometimes, you know, me and Fesbo are on the phone on the side of the road because we got things we had to do. But sometimes it means you get cut off. But, hey, bear with it. It's live radio. That's the other thing I wanted to ask you about is you know, again, I wanted to applaud you on taking it to the next level. You're, you know, parlaying your talent, things like that. What do we expect from you, maybe? I mean, where do you ultimately, let me ask you this, ultimately, where do you want to go with this? Like when you're done playing, what is your vision of where you'll be at, what you'll be doing, or have you looked that far yet? Because I know you're still relatively young, because we all forget that you started in this. It seems, you know, it's funny. It seems like you started this, like, so many years ago, but people don't realize how young you were. And the last time we talked, you know, on the radio here, you mentioned that you were, like, 15, 16 when you got your contract. And people forget that you've been doing this so long. So, you know, have you started thinking about where you are, where you want to be at when you're done playing this game, or where you want to have set up or done, or have you thought about that at all?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So as of right now, I do things that potentially could carry on past my career. So I produced the web series, which obviously is on a small level, a big viewership, but small level for now. I like the production game. It's a lot of work, heavy grind, but I'm liking that. So producing is one. Second is acting. I know that that's mainly a basketball-driven series, but I've actually been doing acting stuff since 2007. Not a lot of projects I was involved on release, but I even had, like, a lead role in a movie before it didn't get dropped. So the acting thing is something I would like to go into, which kind of goes hand-in-hand with what I'm trying to make mainstream push on certain levels. But there's that. There's camps and clinics I've been doing for the past 3 or 4 years, which is something viable that could be done post-basketball career. So with those things, and then there's always the branding aspect. You never know how long a brand can last until it's really kind of said and done. But I would like to, you know, push forth with those, you know, 4 or 5 different avenues while I'm playing so that hopefully I could parlay into, you know, 1, 2, 3, or maybe keep doing them post-basketball.
Right.
So that's kind of my,
And that's why I said I could see you being, you know, who knows, maybe you could get the next. He over here laughing at your fears. That's about what I'm saying. But
I'm glad he is, too. That's what I assumed.
you're getting a prime time reaction of what man. So you should know now it works. Even with us older people. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
You know, it's not just
wow.
Because I'm laughing.
And you got the nerve to call me old. What's up with that?
You know what I'm saying?
That's all right.
Okay,
I'll be 60 this year. No problem.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? We're not teenagers. That's my point.
Yeah,
okay?
You're right. You're right.
We're not his target audience. I mean, we can join in, but ideally I know what he's going for. So that was what I was kind of trying to say.
Right. Sure. You don't have to. That's all right, Mac. I know it's all good. You know, I'm just getting kicked out of this, man. Making a lot of guys look stupid, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there it is. You know, I don't think you need no more proof. It reaches everybody. But the other thing I want to talk to you about is do you miss N1?
Do I what?
Do you miss N1?
Do you find yourself missing
N1?
Oh, do I miss N1? You know what? N1 was some awesome times, man. We had a great run. I liked the brand exposure that it got, and I loved my teammates that I played with when I started with.
Yeah.
And those moments were great. I don't find time these days where I'm, like, missing it as much as I did, say, right after the run was up. You know, after the run was up was, like, what, 2009, maybe? Maybe early in late 2009. So I don't want myself missing it like this back then. I actually really like the baller movement. I like the guys that I play with. And I'm really having a fun time trying to expand the brand digitally and kind of embarking on, like, new ventures today as is. And, yeah, you know, we don't get the exposure we did on ESPN and the mixtape, so I have, like, a cult following like they used to. But I think it's also exciting, too, that now, you know, it's time to try to rebuild, try to capitalize and take it, you know, in a different direction than maybe it's never gone before. So I don't miss it, but it was great times.
Yeah, and that's what I love about, I didn't realize it. It's funny, I didn't realize it until I came to the game when you guys came to Baltimore and I came and saw you. And what I didn't realize is I sat there And I looked around, and I realized, I was like, you know what? I was like, they're actually now, I've lived to see the day where they're actually hitting a whole new generation of street ball players. Because it's really funny, people don't, like, there's a lot of people who know you, but then there's a whole generation of them who've never heard your name, but who are into basketball. It's the same thing with Shaq. As popular as Baby Shaq was, like, you know, there are people, the reaction, he doesn't get the reaction he used to as far as when we're out and about. It's not like, oh, man, Baby Shaq, like he used to. But now, you know, when I look at that crowd, your crowds are young now. And you know they weren't here when y'all were doing the first. When y'all were doing the and one thing, they weren't here. Or they were too young to understand it. And now you got those people. So I'm like, this is really a great opportunity to, you know, you guys get a second chance to influence a whole generation. And I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely, man. And it's been kind of a trip watching that transpire, too, you know, like. Going through a whole different generation, and now people asking the same questions that they did at the beginning, man, when they're asking me if the games are fake, if it's set up, you know, are these players, you know, why aren't they in the NBA? Are you better, you know, Cavs asked me, are you better than Allen Iverson?
It's
hilarious, but, you know, these are the same questions that happened when the mixtapes first came out, you know, so it's kind of interesting to see that whole generation transpire, and you're right. I think it's new and it's exciting getting a chance to do it again, you know, for a second go around.
Yeah, because most people don't get a second go around. I mean, you get NBA players don't get the kind of shelf life y'all got. You know, I don't think so, because to come along and have the exposure that y'all got and then to fade out, and wasn't there about 2 or 3 years there where it wasn't nothing? At all, there was no N1, there was nothing. There was no ball up, there was nothing. And then to come back, start again, and then get, you know, not only the fans of, which I know you love getting the old fans of N1 who are still following, you still got that group, but now you got the people who are following you. It's funny, the people who didn't have kids, now have kids. And now they're bringing them along and saying, oh, you don't know who this is, this is so and so and so. And the kids are like, who the heck is this? You know, so it must be quite a thrill for you to see people that's like, I mean, I remember when he didn't have no kids. Now he got 2 kids, and now they both don't really ask for autographs. I'm like, so I know, you know, I've kind of watched that from afar, but that's when I really realized that when I was in Baltimore, I was like, man, you don't get often a chance to do it 2 times. You know, you really don't get a chance to get that kind of exposure. So that's a great thing. Tell me what is the best thing about the ball up tour? Your favorite, what you like, what's your favorite part of the ball up tour, the summer tour, that you look forward to, the number one thing that you say you would look forward to?
The number one thing I look forward to is probably the number one thing is actually what people might not guess is actually just the camaraderie we have with the guys. So a lot of guys on there, you know, is on the, you know, I play with all the way back to N1.
Right.
So we definitely have a blast anytime we're together. Secondly, just rebuilding, you know, rebuilding something new, you know, like kind of like we talked about, you know, rebuilding something new is very exciting. And I also like the fact that we play in smaller venues where there can be, you know, it causes the opportunity for more of a hype energy, which I particularly like in a streetball game. I mean, the arena thing was cool, and it was awesome to be able to play in arenas that, you know, the world's best play at. But I think street ball, the smaller the venue, the better. And I think you could agree with that, actually watching what's quote-unquote real street ball, or, you know, street ball at its purest form, like at a place like Berry Farms, it's small and compact. You really can't do that energy in a big arena or a big gym. So the fact that it's small and compact, I love that as well. So there's a few different things. You know, I like the corporate side of things isn't as distant from us. Like with N1, we met one of the owners, and then I never even met the other three, and we didn't really know them at all. So it's cool that we're kind of working together as a unit.
Okay, and that's great. Now let me ask, now what is the thing you don't look forward to?
The thing I don't look forward to would only be, you know, like little things that aren't even there's not much I don't look forward to, I'll be honest, but I sometimes I don't like when we're in like Asia, and you have to put up with, like, constant Chinese food, which Eastern-style food, which isn't my favorite. Maybe some long plane rides or crazy lines at the airport every week or every day.
And that's what I was getting at. I wasn't meaning, like, what don't you like about the tourists or, like, the people or anything. That's what I was saying. Like, for some people, they may say, I don't like the long plane ride. Or, you know, I don't like, you know, maybe I don't like having two practices a day. I like having the one practice a day. Or, you know, and that's what I was trying to get to. I didn't want to mean it to sound like what is the worst thing about it, like, oh, man, I hate this, you know, that. But it could be food or it could be a long plane ride. Because, you know, I've heard Shaq many times say, man, that damn plane ride was too long. It's like, I'm sick of that plane ride. I'm sick of it. It was too much. You know, he came back and he actually said that he thought it was too much. The time y'all spent over in China, he was just like, that was just too much. And so I know there's certain parts of it you guys love, but then I know there's certain parts of it you guys really like. And so that's what I was trying to get at. Now for those people who don't know, and I want you kind of to, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask you, you know, I know you for a while, and I know you to be, and that this is for people who out there who are, but you know, you are a born-again Christian, and that is something that I don't know if a lot of people know about, but I know Fessy to know that he's a born-again Christian just like me. That doesn't mean you're being perfect. I don't want to get no feedback or no stuff coming out. Y'all think? Save it. I ain't going to read it. But you're a born-again Christian, and I just wanted to ask you, how long have you been there?
Yeah, since 2009.
Oh, okay. All right.
2009, but didn't actually start taking my walk very, very serious until about late 2010.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what can you kind of go over, like, the story of how you got saved or how God got you to that point or how did that happen?
Yeah, it was interesting. I think it was a number of events, but I'd been exposed to the Word of God since I was very little. I actually went to a Christian preschool in kindergarten.
Okay.
So I was exposed to it at an early age, kind of heard it, but had no understanding. Then went to public school, first grade, all the way up until I was a junior in high school. When I was a senior in high school, it was funny, I transferred to a Christian school only for basketball, only to get more playing time. On the basketball court, looked at it as an opportunity to where I could play college ball. So then I started hearing some things that I kind of remembered from my childhood, okay? But it still wasn't really gripping enough to get me to fall in the ways of Christ, or I didn't even understand maybe that it was even truth, looked at it more so as a practice, you know? And it was kind of interesting because I had been exposed to the public school teachings versus 1 year of the Christian school teaching. I saw how they conflicted, and I didn't get it. You know, I thought it was kind of like, well, you can exercise this way or that way, you know, whichever kind of suits you.
Right.
And then, as I got older, I kind of saw the life from, you know, Hollywood's perspective or a fame perspective. I just saw life through that lens versus, you know, the non-famous or, you know, whatever somebody might refer to, common folk type life. And then moved to L.A. I ended up playing in this church league. Again, just as not a follower of Christ, but just, you know, church leagues are for everybody. It's kind of like an outreach thing. So playing in a church league, and a pastor had pulled me aside, and he gave me some literature to read. He asked me what my, you know, worldview was, or some lightweight things, you know, questions in that area. And I was just like, you know, I kind of like church. You know, I wouldn't be, you know, opposed to checking it out or whatever.
Exactly.
I gave you some books to read, and then I still was kind of like, you know, I didn't really take it serious, right? But I think sometime around, for some reason I can't recall, I guess it was only 5 years ago, but I think around that I had actually confessed faith, kind of like as a safety net type thing, which obviously is not the way you want to go about it, you know?
That's all right. I'll get you any way to get you.
Yeah, so kind of like a safety net thing. And then, if you'll remember, then the only other Christian that I knew of that was in the streetball circuit. Now, there may have been others, but we weren't You know, a lot of times when you're living a fast life, you know, it's all about the women, it's about the fame, it's about, you know, the attention and things of that nature. See, now we're having spiritual conversation with teammates. They're not common, you know, let's just say they're not flourishing. They may be out there. But Escalade was the only other Christian that I knew of on the team.
Yep.
And so we started to have more of those conversations around late 2010. And his brother was a pastor, and I think his brother had started to kind of get to him on a spiritual level in a certain way. I think Escalade was got saved at a church in Brooklyn like 2009 or 8 or something like that. So we started conversation, and right up until the point where he died, I think even like a week or two before that, we talked about the importance of baptism and really taking, you know, your walk serious right before he passed away. And then when he passed away, you know, that was kind of like shook me up. You know, that was, he was my best friend away from the court, too, not just the court.
That. Yeah.
So we used to talk all the time. We could relate on a bunch of different levels. You know, we, you know, we had done the worst together, seen some good times, some bad times, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So when he passed away, it kind of shook me up. And I remember I heard Mark, now the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Mark Jackson, my brother, preached at his funeral. They kind of ran his, they ran his funeral as a traditional service as opposed to just a traditional funeral. So they ran it as tradition, as a kind of like a church service.
Right.
And they had like worship there, and then you know, even Mark's son, you know, preached a little bit. Mark preached, had other speakers, but I think for some reason, for the first time, that it kind of showed me like, dang, you know, you can pass away at any time, you know.
Absolutely.
Life short, you know, and I think it's something to be valued, and so it started and it triggered me to really look for truth, as opposed to before when I just hung onto a safety net or was just looking for the right exercise, which would fit me.
Exactly.
And so then I kind of like fully surrendered to Christ at that point. So I consider myself more so saved then, but I did profess my belief in Christ, you know, or, you know, whatever.
You accept as the personal savior then. I get it. And I think that's important, you know, for people to know about you, because I've known for a long time, and you know, just a remark on it. I miss Escalade. I miss him because we used to talk all the time, also on Facebook. You know, every now and then I call him and we would talk. I mean, every day he would, you know, he would email me scripture, the scripture of the day, and things like that. And you know, I have been doing that with y'all for years. And then he started doing it, and then he would send me stuff, and we would just send stuff back and forth. And, you know, I miss that guy, man. I miss Escalade big time, man, because he was one of the most gentle, most genuine, straight-up guys that I can honestly say that I've known. Like, one of the few guys that I can just, you can have a conversation with him about anything. And, but he always posed great questions back at you to make you think. It was never like an empty conversation. Like, he's like, yeah, let's just talk, blah, 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 blah. He'd come at you and hit you with a question. He'd be like, yeah, but did you think about this? And he'd be like, no, I ain't think about that. You know, he just always was thought-provoking.
Totally.
He's just a gentle guy, man. The biggest way to call him was a gentle giant. He was just a gentle giant, just a great guy. And that's
he
the
was.
One thing I loved about him, man. And I knew when you – and it's funny, I watched your mix. With Alberto today, you know, preparing for the thing, and I was watching it, and I saw the parts in it with, you know, you and him were talking and things like that, and I just thought, and I was like, man, I know that's got to be the guy. I know he missed Escalade. Escalade was fun, because that's when I realized that I missed him, you know, not seeing her. I think my favorite moment with you two was the Michael Jordan sit in the seat joint. That was funny. That is one of the most laugh-out-loud parts I've ever heard. Do you remember that?
The Michael Jordan what? Say it again.
Remember when you guys were sitting in the, you were sitting in this little chair, and I guess you were repeating the story about y'all at the United Center, and you were saying, dang, I wonder if Michael Jordan ever sat in these chairs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Man, that was some funny stuff. And I can't remember, he said something about Michael Jordan sitting naked in the chair or something, and I remember I was in tears. I was like, no, he didn't. Hey, I was like, and I was funny because I was like, Escalade was always telling the story about you. And it was always like, it wasn't to embarrass you, but it almost was, but it was just so funny. You'd be like, man, I would have probably told the same story. But it was just, you know, y'all got really close together, and like I said, I miss him a lot, man. But I knew, you know, I knew you missed him. But he's a good guy. But I'm glad to hear that you're safe. And I did watch your video that you put up, your Christian video about the guy you listened to, and I enjoyed that also. Very good speaker, very good man, knows his stuff. The guy you listened to.
Dr. Michael Brown. That we talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly, Dr. Michael Brown. I couldn't remember his name. Glad you helped me out. Dr. Michael Brown. But I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm proud of you, man, that you've come a long way. And, you know, it's always good to be. It's always good to have Jesus. Life is just, you know, I try to tell people all the time, life ain't always, don't mean it's perfect, but at least you have an answer. At least you have somewhere to go to talk to. It's not just you by yourself. So I'm glad you, brought that. I'm glad you, we talked about that.
Thanks, man.
Wanted to know, for all those girls out there, do you have a girlfriend? That's the question I had to ask.
I do actually have a girlfriend, yes. Girlfriend. Been dating 10 months.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right, girls, he's off limits. Leave him alone. All right, just wanted to bring that out. That's for the people who listen. They were thinking, like, hey, I wonder. I just wanted to get it out there and get it out there on the public stage. I still get goosebumps from the New York shot. I still get that. That's like one of my favorite professor moments. Tell people what it was like. What went on prior to and at that moment and after that moment. Can you put us through that? And you know what I'm talking about. When you hit a big shot in Madison Square Garden, the mecca of basketball, to me, I think that's when you went from Grayson Boucher to the professor. I think that was your turning point. That's when it was like, you ain't going to be able to tell him nothing. His confidence is sky high. So just like walk us through that day and, you know, where you were at, because I know you were in a contest to get the contract or what have you. You got to tell people what that was like.
Yeah, man, it was sort of surreal. Well, actually, it was very surreal. So coming from a small town, I was born and raised in Kaiser, Oregon, population like 50,000, really small. Hadn't been outside of the state too much prior to that summer before trying out for N1. And so you gotta think, coming from where I was coming from, I was good, I was a good basketball player to my peers and to my friends and to people who went to my gym. But I never had been able to measure up on a national level, you know, certainly not against elite players, right? So even on my high school, until I transferred to that Christian school, I didn't even receive significant playing time. And I got like second team All-State at a tiny school. You know, there's only 300 people that went to my school. So it was a tiny league, not respected by anybody, no colleges. Mm-hmm. So I had to walk on to a JUCO before that. And played in my school, but I was the last guy on the team. They already gave out all their scholarships, and I ended up walking on and just barely making the team at a junior college. So coaches never really put any faith in me because they would look at I think they just based it off the appearance, and I wasn't like the scrappiest defender until right after college, entering the M1. So I think they were scared, hey, he's not the scrappiest defender, he's also very small, a liability, so we can't put a lot of confidence there. So I never, prior to that summer, I never had a chance to measure up against elite competition. And so what a lot of people don't know is a lot of the N1 players at the time were elite basketball players. Now, not only because of the street ball, but, you know, we had guys that played in the NBDL, guys that played overseas, certainly half the team played Division I basketball.
Exactly.
Some good basketball players. But that original crew was tough. So coming into that, everything was just surreal because I couldn't believe that I could even match up with these guys. And all I was doing was just playing my heart out, hoping that I could just hang on, you know? So when I came down for the shot in New York, it was very surreal. And I didn't actually realize until years later how big of a shot that it actually was and what a turning point, like you said, that it actually was.
Now, was that, if I remember right, that was planned. You were to take the shot. I can't remember who your coach was at the time. Steve.
The big Mike.
Was that Mike? Oh, it's Mike. Mike, you put you in a position you were going to get the ball and take the shot. Is that correct?
You know, I want to say that that was the plan. It's hard for me to remember right now because it all happened so fast. But
you
I think
know,
it was kind of one of those situations where it was like it was kind of like a scramble moment. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where we had a quick timeout to wrap just for a couple seconds. We ran out on the floor. And then I just know as soon as I popped the top of the key, I was just open. So it was like, what else are we going to do, you know?
And when I saw you shoot it, I was just like, and when you made, I remember watching that episode, like, you know, it came on every night it was, it came on, that was like live. And we watched it. And I never forget, I was just sitting there like, holy cow. And I remember watching that and saying, if he don't get the contract, they're crazy. Like, this is a setup. I'll never watch this again. I was so, that's how I felt. Like, I was like, if he don't get the contract, that shot cemented everything. Because you guys would have lost if he hadn't hit that shot, if I remember right. Because you guys were down. And
one
when
by
hit
one.
That shot, you guys were down and you beat and won. That's what it was. And I think, and I remember when they made you do the push-ups or something, made you do push-ups or something. But it was just so funny. Man. That was such a great, great, great shot. So I just want to give everybody experience of what that was. And if you don't know, go on YouTube and look at it. That's a cold shot, man. When you look at how young you were, you would think that a guy that young would shrink in a moment like that and would miss that shot. And I was just like, and I mean, that was, if I remember right, that was NBA 3. That like wasn't like close. That was like out there. Like you let that game go. So, you know. I'm glad to see you hit that moment. And like I said, I remember so relieved when you won because I didn't know if it was gonna be you or Spider. I was like, man, he gonna be Spider. I'm like, he should be the one because he hit that shot. You know, when you got it, it was great. And then I started cheering for Spider. And then the next year he got it, and I was really happy about that. So, let me ask you this: who do you stay in contact with that's not on Ball Up? That's not a who do you stay in contact with a lot? Do you still stay in contact with a lot of the guys from AN1 that you used to play with, do you still hear from them every now and then, or is it more consistent, or what?
A few of the guys, I mean, everybody, I would say everybody's a phone call away, but I don't keep up with them, like, on the regular. I still talk to Shane every now and again. We chop it up every couple months, maybe. I talk to Headache every few months. I've been in contact with Spider quite a bit. Okay. Let's see. I haven't talked to Sauce in a few years. Actually, since that last N1 game in 2010. I'm trying to think what other cats I'm actually in contact with. I mean, everybody. It's funny because everybody's like on social media.
I know you still talk to Helicopter.
Yeah, still in touch with Cops on a decent level. You know, it's funny because everybody's connected via social media, so we all kind of know what everybody's up to. And we could call, reach out if we wanted to, but there's not many guys I stay up with, like, on a weekly basis, per se, you know?
Right. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Right.
And that's why I just didn't know if you still, you know, every now and then know, hey, man, what's checking in, what's going on, blah, 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 whatever stuff. That's, you know. But I guess let me ask you this, the last, so, what's going to be, do you know anything about what's going to be different this year for Ball Up, this year, this summer? The one thing I am working on, I'm going to work on, because I got your CEO coming on.
Right.
Hello? Professor, you there?
Yes, I am here. I think we lost Mac again.
You lost Mac again? Oh, boy.
Sounds like.
Unbelievable. Let me see if I can call him back again and see if I can get him back. Unbelievable.
You have reached the Sprint voicemail box of 202-384-3416.
I don't know. I don't know where he's at, if he's moving, if he's sitting down. I have no idea. You know, I was going to say this toward the end. Well, this is toward the end of the show. 5 months from today, you know what 5 months today is, right?
5 months today is what?
It's going to be June 10th.
June 10th, my birthday, my 30th birthday party.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. How do you feel? You're going to go from in the 20s into another decade and in the, you're going to be 30 years old. How do you feel about that?
I feel great about it, man. I do.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, a lot of people have like a negative, you know, outlook on 30 or 40 or, you know, always crossing over into a different age range, if you will. But no, I'm excited, man. I think that things are at an all-time high as far as just life and, you know, career and social-wise. And it seems to keep getting better, honestly. So I'm really excited about it, man. Couldn't be in a better place.
Okay. Mac, you back?
Yep, I'm here. I just wanted to, I guess the question I wanted to ask too is just do you know of anything different happening this year in Ball Up this year? Are you guys gonna try to add another person? Is it gonna be a contest like it was with them, or what? I mean, are you doing anything different this year? And I know you don't know everything because you probably don't, but I just wondered if you knew if there was any different things that were coming down the pipe that people can look forward to.
Right. What's interesting is I know very, very little. I know that February 5th through the 15th we'll be touring in Australia and New Zealand. That's what I do know. And I know that our contracts expire at the end of February, so there'll be a re-up process. That's probably why we don't know a lot about what's happening for the latter part of the year. But it wouldn't surprise me if we had some new talent down on the team. We got a chance to look at some upcoming streetball players that toured with us in China last year, several different trips. And we saw some good guys, man. We saw some cool cats that probably could fit the mold of the team. And I look forward to seeing the decisions that they make moving forward.
Okay. I love your man, G. Smith, by the way. I just want to tell y'all, if y'all ever get to go to a Ball Up game and see your man, G. Smith, he is a dunking machine. That dude's rise is ridiculous. Everybody should go on see Professor and see them play this summer. But like I said, I would love to have you guys come down to Berry Farms. I told him I'm gonna stay on him until I get it. I don't care if you do it one time, never do it again. Those were like the best days for me, man, and to look forward to. I remember you had to have your seat paid. You couldn't get out there. Y'all would come and play maybe like 6:30. You had to be out there around 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in order to get a seat. Or you just
right.
If your site seat didn't get there, you in Berry Farms, you didn't inside the gate, you did not, you know, it was like that. So I laugh because you saw the I meant to tell you, I wasn't in town when you came down to Berry Farms, but how do you like it the way it is now? They switched it. It's like the different direction. Did that throw you off a little bit when you saw that?
Oh, it totally threw me off, because when we walked up to the court, I'm like, wait, where are we at? This is Berry Farms, right? And it was interesting, but I think it's cool. You know, I'm all about, you know, expansion and upgrading. So they had Nike banners up there. It looked like they got some more space, so that means more people can come to the And it wasn't like it was, like, overly commercialized or anything. So I thought it looked cool, man. I bet, you know, when it is fully packed, the capacity is probably incredible. So, yeah, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I thought, let me ask you this. What is your, and I don't want you to say the answer because I'm asking, but what is your favorite outdoor court to go to on tour that you've ever been to, that you really enjoyed?
Favorite outdoor court.
It can be more than one, but I just want to know the places, like when you go here, it's like, I like going to this place, that place.
Yeah. I guess it's a tough call. I get a similar reception in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, when I was playing for N1, I never really got the chance to get as much playing time as I would have liked to, just because I was always kind of like the young guy on the team, I guess, per se.
Right.
So as far as the enjoyable experience, as far as one of them being more enjoyable than others, I can't really say. I mean, I had a great time anytime I got to play what's known as like the true essence of streetball, whether we went to Dykeman, Rucker, Berry Farms, whatever it was, Kingdom.
Right. Right.
They were all incredible to me. I think.
So let me see if I can put it into words for you. When I was asked that, I kind of meant like a place you like to go where it's like I can test myself. I can find out really how good I am. I can measure myself. I get tested here. It's pushed back. It ain't easy. And I like that. You know, for a true ball player like yourself, you probably like, you don't want it to be all easy all the time. Sometimes you want to test yourself. You want to find somebody, okay, this guy can really go. You know, this guy really pushes me to have to do a little bit more. So that's kind of what I meant by.
Okay.
Where you like to go. Like when you come here, it's like Shaq goes someplace and it's like, yeah, man, I can't wait to get in here and, you know, really smash somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things, like, I enjoy coming here because I know I'm going to get some pushback. So that's kind of what
right.
I meant. But when you said Dykeman and Kingdom, Berry Farms, that's what I was saying. You like those kind of, and that's why when you said it, I said, that's, you don't realize that's what he's saying, but you enjoy those kind of places because it's like, that's a test. Like, that's a, like, if you can play Kingdom, Dykeman, Berry Farms, That's a nice little mix to have when you got New York and D.C. on your resume. You've gone there and actually played, not just played, but actually went out there and got your man. You know, that gives you credibility. If people go like, nah, I didn't see him, you know, there. Okay, you know, it's like the unfortunate situation with Frost never playing at Berry Farm. He had always tarnished my view of him. That before he did that, I was okay with it. But, you know, at least go out there and try and go out and play. But you did. And to me, I always told Shaq and I always told other people, I said, you know what really made Sauce look bad for not playing up at Berry Farms? The professor played. And the professor didn't believe, and by looking at professor and where he came from, if he had been the one that missed 5 years, nobody would have said a word. Nobody would have said a word. But when it was Sauce, it was like, that's why. You know, your presence, your playing good to me made you look good and made him look bad. Because it was like, okay, not to be funny, you know I don't mean this in the wrong way, but it was like, okay, if the little white boy from Oregon come out here and get busy, and he's getting it every year, and he's coming out here hitting the jump shot, and he's comfortable, and he's doing his thing, why can't you? What's your excuse? You know?
Yeah, you know, I have mixed feelings on that one. I think I agree with what you, I do agree with what you're saying. To Sauce's benefit, the only thing I'll say is from about 2000, let's say 2006, 2007, 2008, right?
Mm-hmm.
What am I trying to say? Mike Ellis, who I thought did a good job coaching, a decent job of coaching the team, he definitely supported me. He always gave me a decent amount of playing time. But...
Mm-hmm.
When we got into those situations where we go, you know, get tested or whatever, you know, we play at the Diamonds of the Rutgers of Berry Farms. When we went to those, he tend to switch up a little bit and go with guys who he felt would flourish in those environments. Now, I would tend to think if I was going to coach a team, I would, you know, all I'm saying is he may have not gave Sauce the fair shot that he – Sauce was dodging the game because he didn't think he was going to get a fair shot to succeed. And the only reason I can kind of see to his benefit is because I don't think I really got a fair shot a lot of times in those scenarios too. You know, you were sitting next to me a couple of those Berry Farms games. I only played like 6 or 7 minutes. You know what I mean?
Right.
I went out and I wasn't expected to do as good because I was still like super young and I had very little playing experience, period.
Right.
But
right.
To Sauce's credit, like, you know, if it would have been earlier where, you know, we had, like, some of the players were kind of like player coaches and we didn't necessarily have a coach that was calling the shots, I think he would have played because, if I recall correctly, he did play in three ball courts at Coney Island. He did play at Dyson one year, and he played when the company was on top. But in the latter part of the years, I don't think we were given the equal opportunity, and that's no diss to whoever's coaching. It was just their opinion, the evaluation of the guys that we had on the team. So it's like if you're going to play Sauce a bunch in Oakland on a tour game, it's like don't bring him to Berry Farms and give him 1 or 2 minutes because, yeah, you're right. You don't have a shot. You know what I mean?
And see, the thing about it, here's the problem I have whether it was him or not. And like I said, I agree with what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying, but here's the problem. Somebody came up with the excuse that he was hurt every year when he came. Instead of Mike standing up or somebody saying, because you know, when it was on television, it wasn't never told to us, like, okay, Mike only chose, so we never saw the part where he says, okay, you playing, y'all not playing, and then have him sit back. Especially when you were as big as Hot Sauce, you know, and that's why from our fan standpoint, we're thinking, if you're telling us he's hurt, and then we're sitting here thinking, okay, it's been 3 years or whatever, and every time he comes here, he's hurt, but like every year we see this guy playing everywhere. As a fan, you're thinking, y'all, you know, and when you're saying Sauce is hurt, we're thinking Sauce is saying he's hurt. So then we're thinking you faking. Like, you just don't want to come down here and play, because you can't, it's impossible for you to be, you know, hurt 3 straight years when you come down here. Like, every time you get here, hurt, but through the whole tour we watch on TV, you playing. Now that you're explaining it, I'm glad you're explaining it, because now I understand that Mike chose who was on. But the bad part is Mike should have came out and said, or stood up for Sauce when he, like that, like, you remember when he got teased and people said, oh, Sauce wear panties, and they was getting on him and saying, they were complaining and saying, he don't never play down here, he ain't this, he ain't that. That was when Mike came on and said, I chose who was out there. I said who was out there. I was holding him in. Then at that point, we ain't mad at nobody but Ann One, or we mad at the coach, but not at Sauce, because we're thinking Sauce legitimately is saying, I'm hurt, I'm not going to play. You know,
it's tough because there's a lot of things weighing on, there's a lot of variables there, you're right. You know, somebody should have, you know, proclaimed it before it was like the fourth quarter and he's standing on the sideline, and now they're saying, oh, it's, you know, crowd chanting different type of things, and they feel slated that he didn't play. I definitely agree. I don't think he had the support from the coach or up top for them to support him in whatever his choice was, you know. And I think he should have played. But here's the other thing, too. Now, our tour games are – there's definitely a high-level competition, but they're played – they're slated towards entertainment, right? But now they're competitive. We have to win, and we're playing good competition. So you have to win, but it's slated towards more – competitive. When we go to Berry Farms, I noticed the game isn't really slated towards entertainment anymore. It really becomes just about winning, but it's entertaining. The game is entertaining, so it's more like a pro-am outside as opposed to like a tour-style streetball game, which is, there is a difference, you know. And I think Sauce was a little, he didn't grow up playing pro-am basketball. He didn't play conventional basketball. He didn't play in any minor league. He never really played under the whistle, if you will, like conventional style basketball. So I think that variable weighed into it, and then the fact that he didn't really have the support from the coach, you know, doubled the reason that he was like kind of dodging the movement. That's what I got from it. We never spoke to it. I never spoke to him directly.
I take what you're saying as the truth, because you were there. So, I mean, that straightens things out for me, because that's why I said, because I do remember around that time, that was when he was missing flights, or he was late, he didn't come to stuff, and him and Mike was kind of like not really at odds, you know, not like thick-witted and Steve Burt, but it was almost like it was a fight there. You know, Mike was like, no, I want you to, you're late, you're this, you're this, or that, and people getting tired of the whole thing. So it was kind of like a battle right there. So, yeah, I understand that. You know, just wish he had got to play there, because that was one of the only courts, like, he never set foot on that court. He never played. Like, never.
Right.
At all.
I wish he did, too, to be honest. I mean, I'm a Sauce fan. There's some streetball guys that even played with us, you know, during our run who probably weren't fans. But I think he was an incredible entertainer, you know. And I do think he could have flourished like a Berry Farm or something, but it wouldn't, you know, he's not going to drop 50, but I think he could have gave the crowd something going on about, would have been nice, and, you know, kind of left off on a good note. I do think he was capable of that, so I wish he would have.
And I think he's capable of it, and I wish he had it, too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today, but I do want to say to you, man, I really, 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 really appreciate, man, you coming on the show. I always love when you come. Because you know, it don't take me much to get you. You're probably one of the few easy guests that I have that if I ask you, you're like, okay, I'm gonna come on. Because you were supposed to come earlier, but I know you had some other commitments. But you know,
yeah.
You know, I really appreciate you coming on, man. I appreciate our friendship. I appreciate you coming on and talking and being here. I just want to say this as we go out. I just want to say this, and this is to the audience. This guy here is one of the most giving guys I know, a very humble guy, very giving guy. I asked him for a family member to give them a gift this year, which was a jersey. He doesn't know this, but I actually thought he was going to give him a ball-up jersey. But he actually sent him one of his last few N1 jerseys. And I wish you could have seen the look on the face of the family member when they got it. I mean, it was priceless. It was just like, wow, are you serious? Like, wow. And, you know, and I asked him to do that for me. And he did it with no problem, no ego, no nothing. One of the nicest guys in streetball you'll ever meet is Professor. And you couldn't meet a nicer guy, more professional guy. Just an all-around good guy, man. If you don't like that, something's wrong with you. You're really a demented person, man. You're just petty. But I just want to say thank you, man, for sending that Christmas gift to that person. And he did that strictly on me asking him. He could have easily said no, and it would have been just fine, but he didn't. And I really appreciate that, man. I want to give it. I know you don't really tell that, but I want to tell in public, this guy did it, you know, for something that I asked, and I really appreciate it. And I always owe him for it. You know, I appreciate what he does. And if I can do it in anything for him to help him, I will. Seth, I really thank you for coming on the show, man. I'm praying for you. Best regards to you in this year, 2014. Anything you need me to push on this show, I'll push it. You want me to push it online, I'll push it. Tell me, I want to be in the know, man. I want to see it. And if any of you have not seen the Spider-Man videos, please see the 3, because when he drops number 4, I want you guys to already be up and running. I think you got Jerry tonight as a new fan who's going to be now following your website.
Oh yeah, I like the black and white Spidey.
I don't think you have any problem with Jerry following from now on. But you know, we appreciate you, man. You are welcome anytime. If you ever want to talk about a product, you got an issue you want to talk about, you're always welcome. This place, as long as I have this radio show. Professor, consider this your home, man. Anytime you want to come on and talk about something, or you want to push a product or something you're doing, you want to get it on, man, hit me up and let me know. I'll have you on, no problem. So I really appreciate you, man. We really do.
I appreciate you guys too, man, and thank you for the encouragement, Matt. It's really humbling. I'm glad Robert liked the jersey. And, no, I appreciate your friendship as well, man. Thanks for the encouragement. And, yeah, man, I appreciate both of you guys. Thank you.
All right. We appreciate you too, man. Anytime you want to come on, you just let me know. We'll probably get you on again. I will say that now. I usually tell everybody. But I will try to get you on again, hopefully maybe like right before the tour starts. And maybe
right.
Just so we can, or maybe during the tour we'll get you on. One of those times, I'll get you this summer. Either this summer or right before, I try to get you on. If there's nothing else, even if we don't have a full show, maybe we get you on for 15, 20 minutes just to find out what the tour is looking like, how we doing. And get you on. So your man Shaq is coming on in a few weeks. I'll have him on, and so we'll have Demetrius in March. So I'll definitely message you and let you know. So if you want to tune in and listen, you can. I will also post. I will also send you the link to the show, so that way you can post it on your network, on your social media. So that way, if you want people want to re-listen or they re-listen or they miss the show, they'll be able to do that. I'll email that to you as soon as I get that in the next few days, okay?
Okay, awesome, man. Look forward to it.
All right, man, no problem. We'll see you later. Jerry, have a great week.
Same
Seth,
to you, man.
Great,
thanks again,
man.
Professor.
And with that, we are out. See you later.